Sex scandals have, of course, killed political careers without the use of full-page ads or payments to sources. Tom Fidler was a reporter at the Miami Herald in 1987 when rumors were flying around that Democratic presidential hopeful Gary Hart was having extramarital affairs. When someone approached the Miami Herald with information and demanded payment, Fidler refused on principle, but he still managed to break the story. Tom, welcome to On the Media.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
I remember Gary Hart saying, "If you don't believe I'm clean, follow me." You followed him.
Well, we did, although we had actually already, by the time that was published, met with the source. This is the woman who called me initially wanting to sell a photograph, the one that had Senator Hart and Donna Rice sitting in his lap. I told her we didn't pay for photographs, but I suppose I ultimately persuaded her that it was in the country's best interest for her to help me anyway, and she did.
That was 1987. This is 2007. 20 years later, other forces have intervened. One of them is Larry Flint. Mm-hmm. Another is the tabloids, who have introduced money into the game.
Mm-hmm. The ground for this was actually plowed pretty well in the 1992 presidential campaign when Jennifer Flowers showed up at a press conference sponsored by not the Inquirer, the Star, and she announced that she'd had an affair with then-Governor Clinton for a number of years. She was well paid for that, as I think everybody knew.
Well, you mentioned Jennifer Flowers. You know, she had documentary evidence. She had answering machine tapes. So she had the goods. And after all, police pay for information all the time that can lead to convictions. Publishers buy tell-all books from news figures and so forth. If the story checks out, what is the problem with paying for it?
Well, I think what you're hoping to get is the ideal situation, and that is where someone's motives in coming forward and providing information that is relevant, by the way, not just scandalous for scandal's sake, that the ideal would be that someone's motives are pure, or at least as pure as I suppose you can have in a human situation or in a political situation.
All sources have one motive or another, and some far less straightforward and transparent than just money. In Washington journalism, you never get a piece of information where someone doesn't stand to gain something.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely true. And our role as journalists is to present the information in a way that enables people to make an informed judgment. And part of that process is to try to understand the motives there so that they can assess, do I really want to believe this or is this tainted? Maybe that fact is right, but they're holding back on something else that would be mitigating. It's very tricky territory.
Clearly, the Gary Hart, Donna Rice story found its way into the Miami Herald without Knight Ridder having to write a check to anybody. But, you got to hand it to Larry Flint. Nobody else broke the Bob Livingston story. Whether it should have been broken or not is an open question, but the Speaker of the House designate had to leave the Congress on the basis of a story bought and paid for by Larry Flint. Was he doing some sort of public service by exposing Livingston's hypocrisy?
Yeah. If you put Larry Flint and public service in the same sentence, you feel like you almost need to take a shower later. Yeah. But first of all, I do think that that was relevant information. That said, I would hope that journalists would have been able to get at that information without having paid for it, simply by saying, look, this is information that for the good of the republic, you ought to be willing to step forward and make this allegation known. Well, it didn't happen. Larry Flint was able to pry it loose with his checkbook, so it's out there. But I put that in the category of the same way that sometimes the only way law enforcement can get information is to grease the proverbial palm of somebody who's less than savory. I suppose we just wish we didn't have to go that route.
Oh, so you're on your way to the Shorenstein Center at Harvard to study media issues. Will you tell your students, take careful notes and bring a big wad of cash?
Yeah, I would tell them not to do that. I would tell them to try every possible way to avoid that kind of a situation. I know there are times when a source will say, look, at the only way I can give you this information, if I lose my job, I need some kind of help. And so, you know, as a journalist, you might look around and say, well, how can I help? Maybe I can see to it that this person can get another job. Or there are ways around, I would hope, just pulling out a checkbook and putting a bunch of zeros after a number.
Tom, thank you very much.
It was a pleasure.
Tom Fiedler is retired executive editor at the Miami Herald.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.